We'll turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, and to Philippians chapter 4. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we turn now to Thy precious Word, cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood of our dear Saviour. Fill me afresh with Thy Holy Spirit, O God. And give help and enablement, wisdom, guidance, direction for the preaching, Lord, of Thy Word. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And Lord, use Thy Word, O God, today to the saving of souls, to the building up of believers in their holy faith. Use it, Lord, to the glorifying of Christ. In His name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Our text for today is verse 19 of Philippians chapter number 4. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory and by Christ Jesus." Now, as Paul writes this letter to the Philippian church, he himself is an old man in a prison cell in Rome. Now, he's not in prison for any wrongdoing or for any crime that he has committed. Rather, he is there because of his faithfulness to Christ, his Savior. And soon he will be martyred for his faith in the Savior. Yet in the midst of such inhospitable circumstances, he writes this letter of tremendous encouragement to God's people in the church at Philippi. And in this final chapter of this letter, you'll notice in verse number 1 how he tells these believers to be steadfast in the things of God. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." They were to be steadfast and grounded in the things of God. He also tells them to be united and to be of one accord. Look at verse 2. He says, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." He also tells them to help their fellow believers in Christ. In verse 3, he says, "I entreat thee also through yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." They were to help one another in the gospel and the things of God. He also goes on to tell them how they were to rejoice in the Lord at all times, in every circumstance and situation of life. In verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." And guiding them further, he encourages them to exercise restraint in all matters of their life, because the Lord is near and the Lord is coming back again. Look at verse 5. He says, "Let your moderation," he says, "be known unto all men." In other words, they were to be a sober people, a people that the restraint of God was upon, because the Lord is at hand. The Lord was near. He was watching over them, and He was coming back again in power and in great glory. He also tells them to be prayerful. In verse 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He tells them also to allow God's peace to protect and to garrison their hearts. Verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." They were to allow the peace of God to rule and to reign in their hearts. They were not to be overcome by worry or by anxiety or by fear or by care. He also counsels them further to be a pure church, to be a holy church, to be a church that turned away from the evils of this world. Look at verse 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Then he goes on as well to encourage them as a people to be content with their lot in life as Christians, And in doing this, he cites his own example. Look at verse number 11 of the chapter. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Indeed, the Bible says to the Christian that godliness with contentment is great gain. And he also encourages them further in their Christian life to rest upon God's power in their life. And in doing this again, he gives his own example. Look at what he says to them in verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Paul had no strength in himself, but that strength was found in the Lord working in him and through his life as a Christian believer. And then he inspires them and encourages them to depend upon God's provision. And you see that in the words of our text this morning in verse 19. When he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And with this counsel, this little church here in Philippi was to find great help. It was to find great comfort and great encouragement in a hostile, pagan, anti-Christian world where they were placed as a beacon of light for the gospel of Christ. Can I say this morning that this promise here of God's provision in verse 19, our text, has been a tremendous blessing to multitudes of believers down throughout the ages. Yes, numerous Christians have rested upon this verse and rejoiced in its truth and rejoiced in the fulfillment of this promise in their lives and in their circumstances. And dear people, it is the same great promise of God's abundant provision that the Lord has laid upon my heart to be our motto text as a church and as a congregation in this new year of 2017. Yes, throughout 2017, I believe the Lord would have us as a church, as a people, to rejoice in this great promise. Not only to rejoice in it, but to rest upon it and to prove it day by day in our life and in our witness as a church. And that being the case, there are three things this morning I want you to note just about this promise of God's abundant provision. Notice first of all here the people to whom this promise is given. In verse number 19, Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Notice that word there, "your." And there you see that Paul was addressing a particular group, a particular category of people. And that leads us to ask the question, who were this people? What was this group of people? What was the category of this people to whom Paul was now writing in this text? If you go back to chapter 1 and the verse number 1, you'll see there they are described. It says, "To all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi." And again, if you look at chapter 4 and the verse number 3, which we read earlier, you'll see that they are described at the end of verse 3 there of chapter 4 as those whose names are in the book of life. And this promise was to the saints of God. It was to those whose names are in the book of life. Here you see very clearly that Paul was writing in particular to those who are born again of God the Holy Spirit. He was writing to those who had repented of their sins, those who were saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me ask, is this your testimony as you sit in this Sabbath service in this first day of 2017. Let me ask you the question this morning. Are you a saint in Christ Jesus? Is your name written down, recorded in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life? Are you saved today? Are you born again of the Holy Spirit? Are you converted by God's grace? Have you repented of your sins? Can you look back to a time in your life's experience when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Oh, tell me today, are you resting upon Christ and upon His sacrifice alone and the blood that He shed upon the cross for the atonement for all your sins, for the covering of all your sins? Are you a saint in Christ Jesus? Is your name written in the book of life? Friend, if your sins are to be all forgiven by God, if you are to be at peace with God, if the fetters and chains of sin are to be broken in your life, if you are to be saved from a lost eternity in hell, if you are to be sure of heaven, then now in time, you must repent of your sins before God. And you must put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins. You see, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My, in this first day of 2017, I urge you now, if you're still not saved, to come this very moment by faith to Christ. To put your trust in Him. To call upon Him to save your soul. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." The Lord invites you to come to Him. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God has spared you through 2016. There's many that were here at the beginning of last year. They're not here today, but still you're here. God in mercy has protected you. He's kept you alive to this very moment in time. Oh friend, do not turn your back and despise the mercy of God. Do not say, "I leave my salvation to the end of this year, or to another month, or to another day, or to another week." Do not say, "I leave my salvation to my deathbed." How can you be sure that you'll have a deathbed? And I tell you this, there's very, very few people who ever get saved on their deathbed. Because all they're interested in when they're dying is taking one breath along with another. The Lord says, "Come now." The Lord says, "Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart." My dear friend, if your name is to be in the book of life, if you are to be a saint in Christ Jesus, then now in time, you personally must repent of your sins. That's your responsibility before God. I can't do that for you. Your parents can't do that for you. A friend can't do that for you. Your husband, your wife cannot do that for you. That is something you must do personally before God and put your faith and trust in Christ. If you are to be saved, if you are to be in the book of life, if you are to be a saint in Christ Jesus like these people to whom Paul was writing to in our text this morning. Yes, they were saints. Their names were in the book of life. But as well as being saved, you'll notice here from the chapter before us that these Philippian believers to whom Paul addressed in our text, they were a people who put the Lord first. They were people who put the work of God first in their life. And if you look at verses 14 to 18 of this chapter, you'll see that as Paul addresses them and as he speaks about their life and their testimony. And here you see that they were a people who had given great support to Paul and all his labors for Christ and the gospel as a New Testament missionary. Look at verse 14. Notice what he says to them. He says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound I am full. having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Notice how Paul describes their support. He says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. And there you see that their testimony, their giving, their support, their generosity to the Lord's work, Paul describes it as a sweet-smelling, well-pleasing sacrifice before God Almighty. This was the testimony of this people to whom Paul was addressing in our text. Brethren and sisters in Christ, by God's grace, let us be those who follow their example in 2017. As Christians, let us not hold back in our support and in our giving to God's work. Let us be those who put God's work first in our lives. Let us be those who support God's work at home and abroad in whatever way we can as believers, as Christians. In this new year, may the Lord's will, may the Lord's work, the Lord's cause have first place in our life, first place in our priorities as Christians, as believers. Then we shall know and see the Lord, dear people, meeting our needs that is spoken of in our text this morning. You turn in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. A verse I'm sure is familiar to us all, but one I believe we need to often come to as the people of God. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse number 33. The Lord Jesus Christ there was speaking to God's people, to the believers of his day, the disciples, but to every believer. And dear Christian, this is what God says to your heart and my heart as we sit in this meeting this morning. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is our responsibility? To seek first the kingdom of God. I remember an old relative who's long since gone to glory, but he had an old text up in the hallway of his home when you went through the door, and it was simply these words, God first. That was his life. That was his testimony. I don't think he ever went outside of Northern Ireland. He milked cows all the days of his life while he was able. But he was a man who loved the Lord. A man who put the Lord and the work of God first in his life. One who was faithful to the work of God, to the cause of Christ in his day and generation. And he was one who could testify of God's abundant provision in his life day by day. The hymn writer says, go true with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. Dear people of God, that's the challenge of God to your heart and my heart this morning. It has been said that all heaven is waiting to help those who will discover the will of God and do it. As we think about 2017, may it be our desire not only to discover the will of God, but to do that will with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our might. Well, yes, we see here the people to whom this promise was given. But notice secondly here from our text this morning, notice the abundance of this promise. Look again at Philippians chapter 4 and the verse number 19. Notice in particular those words there in the middle of the verse, shall supply all your needs. Notice that word supply there. It means to fill to the full. And here, Paul was telling these Philippian Christians that God would meet their need fully. And my, the Lord will do the same for each one of us who are saved, who put Him first in our life. That's the promise of our text. My, just as the Lord filled the water pots to the full with wine at the wedding of Cana of Galilee and met every need there, so He will supply our needs fully. So He will supply our needs completely. You remember what Paul said to young Timothy? He said, God who giveth us richly, says, all things to enjoy. You notice the little word all there in our text. It says, my God shall supply all your need. And that word all there, it means all our needs, whatever our needs are in 2017. Dear child of God, God can meet all your temporal needs, whatever those needs are. Turn back again to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 30 to 32. And notice there how the Lord speaks to us there about meeting our temporal needs. Matthew 6 verse 30, the Lord says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Dear Christian, everything that you need this year, 2017, your heavenly Father knows all about it already. There's nothing hidden from God's all-seeing eye. He can meet all our temporal needs. He can meet all our physical needs. Remember what Paul said in Mars Hill to the people of Athens, speaking about God. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being. The Bible says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, the eternal God is thy refuge. Indeed, in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, and even to your old age will I carry you. Even when our bodies are old and weak and infirm, the Lord carries his people. He supports them. He helps them. He takes them by the hand. He can meet our physical needs. He can meet our temporal needs. He can meet all our spiritual needs. Remember the Lord's great promise to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You remember the testimony again of Paul as he writes to the believers at Ephesus? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We don't know what 2017 will bring. But dear child of God, in all of the trials of this new year, in all of the battles of this year, in all of your service for God this year, the Lord can give you wisdom. He can give you guidance. He can give you comfort. He can give you succor. He can give you grace. He can give you peace. And he will afford you his presence. For he says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What a promise to rest upon in 2017. Indeed, it was Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator of a bygone day, who said, we cannot look for too much from the Creator. We can never ask or look for too much from God. However, it does need to be emphasized here in our text this morning that Paul says, all your need. But he does not say all your greed. You see, every wise and indeed every loving parent will withhold from their child things that are not for the good of that child. And likewise, our Heavenly Father, who is all wise, who is all good, who is all loving, he will not give us anything that is not for our good. He will allow nothing to come our way that is not for our good. You see, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Child of God, whatever your need is today, whatever your need will be this year, praise God, when you put him first, you can pray and you can depend upon God. You can ask God to step into the situation and to meet your need. You see, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. On one occasion, George Mueller was traveling from England to America, sailing across the Atlantic. As he neared the Canadian side of the Atlantic Ocean, he was held back from a preaching engagement, from getting off the boat because of dense fog, and he was going to be late for a preaching engagement. And he prayed that God would take away the fog, and God did that. And Mueller was able to fulfill his preaching engagement in time in the land of Canada. And speaking to the captain of the ship, he said these words. He says, "My eye is not on the density of the fog, but mine eye is upon the God of heaven who controls every circumstance of life." And that was the testimony of a man who over 100 years ago prayed in over £1 million to cover the running costs of his orphanages day by day that he'd raised up under God. He was a man who knew God's abundant provision. And dear brethren and sisters in Christ, the Lord has not changed. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." The Bible speaks of Christ your Savior and says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Yes, the abundance of this promise. The people to whom this promise is given. But notice finally from our text this morning, notice the source of this promise. Our verse says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Look again at that verse 19. Notice in particular the words, "my God." And then the phrase, "his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And there you see that God is the reservoir. God here is the source of this great promise to supply the needs of his people and his church. And he supplies their needs from the riches and glory by his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Indeed, commenting on God's riches and glory, Charles Spurgeon, he said these words. He says, "At this point, the preacher must sit down, for he cannot compass this part of the text. For God's riches and glory are beyond all human comprehension." You know, he was right. Dear child of God, in this meeting, you and I, we really cannot fathom, we cannot plumb the depths of God's riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My, they are infinite. They are beyond all our comprehension. If you think of a little glass of water in your hand as an example of all the riches of mankind from the very dawn of time, and then you compare that with all of the waters that you find in the rivers and the seas and the streams and the oceans from the very beginning of time as an example of God's riches and glory. And my, that comparison between the glass of water and the water of the seas and the ocean shows us in a little way something of the vastness, something of the greatness, something of the infinity of God's riches. God's riches are inexhaustible. They never end. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. And there's no end, there's no limit to God's riches, to God's supply. Look again at our text and notice in particular that word, according. Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches." That word according shows us that God gives proportionately. In other words, he gives in proportion to his vast resources, to his vast reserves. He is infinitely rich. So God is one who gives richly. He doesn't give meagerly. He doesn't give, as it were, with a closed hand or a closed fist. He gives liberally. He gives richly. He gives bountifully. Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Dear believer in Christ, I tell you, there is no limit to the riches of God. Do not tempt God and say there's an end to God's riches. There's no end, there's no limit to the riches of God. Therefore, dear believer, he can supply your every need, whatever that need is. What was the testimony of the hymn writer? They could say, "All I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." In verse 19 there, Paul mentions the words, "by Christ Jesus." And Christ is the mediator of the covenant of grace.
And by Christ, our mediator, our redemption as God's people is sure. Therefore, Paul is telling us here that God will supply all our needs for our entire Christian life through Christ. From the very day we are saved to the day we leave this scene of time and are called home or enter into glory through Christ, God will supply our every need. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Child of God, the Lord will take care of you from the very day He has saved you, when that was, wherever that was, until He comes or until He takes you home to glory. He'll not desert you. He will meet your needs. He will care for you. He will look after you. He will supply your needs abundantly. He will supply them richly. He'll supply them fully. Turn in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look with me there at verses 13 and 14. Notice what it says. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, says Christ, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Dear child of God, when you're saved, living for Christ, you can pray through the merits of Christ's name. And God will withhold no good thing from you. He says there, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Brethren and sisters in Christ, as individuals, as a church, may this be our testimony this year. May we put God first. May not be second or tenth or way down the list of our priorities, but may we put God first in our lives, in our individual lives, in our testimony as a church and as a congregation. Let us rejoice in this promise. Let us rest upon it. For the Lord has said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God cannot lie. His word is truth. His word is forever settled in the courts of heaven. Let us pray.